Blog Talk Radio.
Man-made doctrine is all of what religion is. No addition
It ain't no need for multiplication or long division. No subtraction or any other type of mathematics. Just trust in Yahweh's word and what he say will happen.
It's the delight of my soul, the only thing that controls. This is the sweetest of roll that I ate in this hole. You know it's the Almighty, the one who's always right. Be you see the light in the sky, you know it's day. And then it's night when the lesser light shines. It's the most sublime, the most profound, the illest sound ever heard round this town, around this globe. It be the Torah of Yahweh Elohim. Do you understand the things that I speak in these days of the last? It done passed when these people about to fall off the earth like grass. With this, like the flower fades, you know how it is.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First of all, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that therein is. Hallelujah. Praise Almighty Yah, and let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day, another night, another week, bringing to you his great and exalted words, even the words of Yah. My name is Mori Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell me to tell you the truth. So this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king. He's our judge, he's our lawgiver, and Yah is our only savior, and not just of Israel, but Yah is the savior of the world. And again, I thank the mighty Yah, the Most High, the Elohim of fathers, for allowing us to come for you once again, bring to you his great and exalted word. Tonight we will be discussing what is our identity. Everybody have an identity? Your identity is who you are. Your identity is where you're from. Your identity is how you recognize yourself, how others recognize you. We want to show you our nativity, our origin, our identity, and why. How else can you know anything or in your identity? And I don't want the people to be confused about your identity and your name, because these are two different things. For example, let me just show you a couple things real quick so you can understand what we're saying, what I'm saying. In the book of Genesis 35, let me get that for you. Genesis 35. Of course, I thank all my beautiful brothers and sisters who have been praying, my family. And my family is doing great for Yah mercy and do it forever. In the book of Genesis 35, and I want you to see this, starting in the 9th verse. Then you can understand what this is all about. Came out of Padan Aram and blessed him. And Elohim said unto him, thy name is Yaakov. Thy name shall not be called anymore Yaakov, but Israel shall be thy name. And called his name Israel. And Elohim said unto him, I am El Shaddai, Elohim El Shaddai. Be fruitful, multiply. A nation, company of nations shall be of thee. Kings shall come out of thy loins. And the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac, to thee will I give it. And to thy seed after thee will I give the land. And Elohim went up from him in the place where he talked with him. And Yaakov set a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone. And he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon. And Yaakov called the name of the place where Elohim spake with him, Bethel. So we see here that our name is Israel. But is this our identity? And this is what we must search out. Furthermore, in the book of Psalm 83, turn there. And this is what it says in the book of Psalm 83, starting at the very first verse. Keep not silence, O Elohim. Hold not thy peace and be not still, O Elohim, for lo, thy enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up their head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. And once again, here we see another scripture letting you know our name. And everybody has a name, and it's important to have a name. And there's no greater thing that you can have than a good name. We also find this in the book of Isaiah 44. Of course, a lot of our people refuse to take back their name, and they refuse to have our enemies call them by their name. Our enemies call our people by the name that they gave them. And our people are happy with doing so. But watch what it says in Isaiah 44, O Yaakov, my servant. And in Israel, whom I've chosen, thus says Yah that made thee, and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Yaakov, my servant. And thou, Jeshurun, whom I've chosen, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thy offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. Watch what this says now. One shall say, I am Yah's. And another shall call himself by the name of Yaakov. And another shall subscribe with his hand unto Yah and surname himself by the name of Yisrael. Here, another scripture letting you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that this is our name. And just one more scripture to show the significance of this is in the book of Isaiah 43. And this is what it says in the 5th to 7th verse. Isaiah 43, verse 5. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up. And to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone that is called by my name, for I've created him for my glory. I have made him. So make no mistake about it. Our people are called by the name of Israel, or in Hebrew, Yisrael. But is this our identity? And let me show you and let you know that this is not our identity. Now, why do I say this is not our identity? Because before we were given the name of Yisrael, our identity was already shaped. It had already been formed. It had already been in existence. And many of our people don't know their identity. And I'm speaking about the identity of the Israelites, the 12 tribes of Israel. And the identity that connect us to our fathers. And I'm going to show you what our identity is. That connect us to our fathers and connect us to the Most High. Because we didn't start off as Israelites. And let me show you this. So you can know, because once you understand who you really are, then you can begin to ascertain what you are supposed to be doing. How do you supposed to do it? And how do this thing look that you're supposed to be doing? So let me show you this. Let me show you your nativity. People ask you, who are you? That you will be saying the same thing and you will be espousing the very thing that all your fathers would say. And watch this. The first place I want you to turn is in the book of Genesis, the 14th chapter. And you'll begin to see how significant this is. So you can begin sounding, acting, as well as behaving like fathers. In the book of Genesis 14, And we're going to start reading at the 12th verse. Watch what it says. Genesis 14 and 12. And they took Lot, Abram's brother, son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew. For he dwelt in a plain of Mamre, Amorite, brother of Esco, brother of Anar. And these were confederate with Abram. So you notice when this talked about, when they talked about Abram, they called him a Hebrew. This was not his name. His name was Abram. They didn't call him this because this was his language. They didn't call him this because this was the name of his father. They call him this for a special, peculiar, and reason why that most people don't even know why. And he was called Abram the Hebrew. Where did this term come from? Where did this originate? Where was it born? And what do it mean? Of course, you can look up in the concordance the word Hebrew, and it'll tell you crossover and beyond the other side, things like that. But I'm going to show you what the scriptures about the meaning of this word Hebrew and where it come from. I may add, the only time our people talk about the term Hebrew is when they're talking about a language. Our people say our people, they know ancient Hebrew. And every time I read about a Hebrew, it never referred to a language. Never. Not Paleo Hebrew, not modern Hebrew. Where did these terms come from? Not ancient Hebrew. A Hebrew is an identity. That's what a Hebrew is. And it is your identity. What do it mean? And where was it born? Well, let me show you where it was born so that you can understand what it means. As the scriptures say, there's a time and a season for everything. There's a time to be born and there's a time to die. And once you know the time, then you can understand the purpose. And most people don't know purpose because they just don't know time. And so we're going to bring time and purpose together so you can understand what this means. Let's go to its nativity in the book of Genesis, the 10th chapter. And what are we speaking about? What is our identity? Well, our identity, we're Hebrews. We're Hebrews. Now this, there are people called Hebrews, Edomites and Hebrew, Ishmaelites and Hebrew, Amorites and Hebrew, Ammonites and Hebrew. All the sons of Abraham, are they all Hebrews? This is what most people say. This is what most people teach. But in the scriptures, there was only one called in Hebrew. And I'm going to show you who that one was. And if we are to go by the scriptures, then we will be teaching and saying what the scriptures say and teach. In the book of Genesis, the 10th chapter, of course, the 10th chapter identify all the various nations on the earth. These are the nations that was born to the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, after the flood. So these are all the nations. But watch what it says in Genesis, the 10th chapter, the 21st verse. It says, unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber. Little do people know the word Hebrew comes from the Hebrew word Eber. Eber in Hebrew is the same exact word. Ivrit. Some people pronounce it Ivrit. And I don't see our language, tongue, or our people dealing with these V's that our people pronounce today. But it's Eber. And I'm not stating that this identity was the name of our language. I'm not saying that either. This is what other people teach and what other people say. Where did they get it from? Did they get from the scriptures, or did they get this from your enemies, other people? And they have reduced your identity to a language rather than who you really are. What do it say again in the 21st verse? Unto Shem also, the father of all the children of Eber. And why say all the children of Eber? I mean, Eber wasn't his direct son. And you're going to see that. The brother of Japheth, the elder, even to him were children born. And watch what it says. The children of Shem, Elam, Ashur, Arphaxad, Lud, and Aram. In other words, these are the sons that came directly from the loins of Shem. Then watch what it says. And the children of Aram, Uz, and Hor, and Gether, and Mosh. And of course, if you don't know, Uz or Uz is where Job was from. 24th verse. Arphaxad begot Salah, and Salah begot Eber. Eber is way down the line. But yet, when they first start talking about Shem children, in the 21st verse, it says, unto Shem also the father of all the children of Eber. And why? You're going to see why this connection and why this is so vitally important. Well, let's keep reading. 24th verse again. And Arphaxad begot Salah, and Salah begot Eber. And just keep remembering Eber. And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided. And the brother's name was Yotam. Now, why is that important? Well, it's very important because the Almighty used Eber, and it was during the time of his sons. His son Peleg. That's why I said unto Shem also the father of all the children of Eber. Because Eber was used for a great purpose. And let me tell you what the purpose was. It was to separate. When the Creator decided he will separate the whole earth, this is the children, this is the son that he will make that separation with, as it's stating here. And unto Eber were born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his days was the earth divided. And the Almighty wanted the earth divided at this time because the Almighty would separate his holy seed, his divine seed that will represent him on earth. And so he had already purposed that the earth would be divided. 26 verse. In your time begot Almadad and Shelah and Hazar Mavet and Yah, Hadaram and Uzal and Dikla and Obaal and Bimael and Sheba and Ophir, Havilah and Yobab. All these were the sons of Yotam. Their dwelling was from Mida, as thou goest unto the far ground of the east. These are sons of Shem. Watch what it says. After their families, after their tongues, in their lands, after their nations. Because although they all came out of the same, came from the same father, which is Shem, they still were divided by families. They were divided by tongues. They were divided by lands. They were divided by nations. And I may add, this proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that all languages, all people, all lands, all nations come from the Most High himself. The Almighty can go in and identify when this division took place. Who else can do such a thing? People don't know why people speak this language and another people speak that language and another people speak that language. They have no clue and idea. Science don't know. The wise men don't know. But Yah know, because he was the one who separated and divided the earth. And just to show you he did that, look in the book of Genesis, the 11th chapter, the very first verse. And this is what it says. And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And what's one language and one speech? And what was that one language? And what was that one speech that the whole earth was speaking? And let me tell you, man don't know what that one language was. They don't know what that one speech was. They have no clue whatsoever. They don't know. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick, burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach into heaven. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the earth. And Yah came down to see the city and a tower, which the children of men built. And Yah said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do. And nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language. You notice the Creator said, let us go down. Who is this us? Well, this same us is the same us that said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. It's the same us. And who is this us? Well, this us is the Creator's host, his angels. It's not wisdom. It's not understanding, because we're not made after the image of wisdom. Wisdom don't even have an image. Wisdom is just a spirit. So we know this us had to be his angels. That's why oftentimes, but not any angel. The angels that came down and they looked just like you and I. But really, indeed, we look like them. Because we were made after their image and after their likeness. It further says, so Yah scattered them abroad. Oh, 7th verse. go to, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So Yah scattered them abroad from this upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore, the name of it called Babel, because Yah did there confound the language of all the earth. And from this did Yah scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth. Now you might ask yourself, when did Yah do this thing? During the time of Peleg, which was the son of Eber. And what? And so, who is Eber? And what is Eber? Well, Eber just means Hebrew. That's all it is. But what do that mean? That means to divide. It means to separate. It means to set apart. Because this is what Yah did with Eber's son, Peleg. He only had two. One was Peleg and one was Yoktan. And then he divided the earth during the time of Peleg. And of course, Eber was still there. And after, and here it speaks about how Yah scattered the people abroad the earth by language. And after he did this, watch what it says. Already it gave the genealogy of man, but then it gives the, it repeats the genealogy of Shem. And why? Because it's trying to teach and show you something. This is who Yah separated from everybody else. Watch what it says. These are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begot a fox god 2 years after the flood. And Shem lived after he begot a fox god 500 years and begot sons and daughters. I lived 530 years and begot Salah. And our fox god lived after he begot Salah 403 years and begot sons and daughters. And Salah lived 30 years and begot Eber. And so we see Eber was the third generation after Shem. And you know what the third represents. But watch what the fourth generation after Shem was. 15 verse. And Salah lived after he begot Eber 403 years and begot sons and daughters. Now we're in the fourth generation, 16 verse. And Eber lived 430 years and begot Peleg. And what happened during the time of Peleg? Well, the earth was divided. What do the fourth represent? That's when the Almighty made the sun, moon, and the stars, and he said the sun will be the light by day and the moon and the stars will be a light by night. He said the sun will divide the day and the moon separate the night. In other words, the fourth represents Yah separation. And what did he do during the time of Peleg? Separate. And who was his father? Eber. And what do Eber mean? Well, it's a Hebrew, which means to separate. And I'm going to show you what it means to separate. And Peleg, and Peleg, and Eber lived after he begot Peleg 430 years and begot sons and daughters. And Peleg lived 30 years and begot Reu. And Peleg lived after he begot Reu 209 years and begot sons and daughters. And Reu lived 230 years and begot Seru. And Reu lived after he begot Seru 207 years and begot sons and daughters. and say Ruth lived 30 years and begot Nahor. And say Ruth lived after he begot Nahor 200 years and begot sons and daughters. And Nahor lived 929 years and begot Terah. And Nahor lived after he begot Terah 119 years and begot sons and daughters. And this is where we come into next. And Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Now we get right down to the first man that was even called a Hebrew. As you can see, this line of Shem, it goes right through the man called Abram. The first man that was even called a Hebrew. Of course, he wasn't only the first man called a Hebrew, other than Eber, but he was the first man called a prophet in the scriptures. The first man in the scriptures that the word of Yah came unto him saying. He was the first man in the scriptures that Yah would come to him in a vision and a dream. He was the first man in the scriptures that Yah would tell this man to pray for another man. And this is the first man who had a vision and a dream about his descendants, about their 400-year captivity. And he was the first one called a Hebrew. Now, why was he called a Hebrew? Because no other man before him was told to do this. In the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter. Watch what it says. Remember, during the time of Peleg, which was the son of Eber, this is when the whole earth was separated. And you're going to see why. This is 12:1. Now Yah has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So we can see clearly that this man was separated from his own family. The only one that he wasn't separated from at this time, you're going to see the fourth verse. So Abram departed as Yah had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And why was he separated from his family? Because he was a Hebrew. This is what the word Hebrew means. It separates, divides. And the Hebrews are a separated people. Watch what it says. And Abram took his Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan, they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Sichem, unto the plain of Moreh. And the Canaanite was then in the land. And Yah appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, And there built he an altar unto Yah, who appeared unto him. Removed from thence unto a mount on the east of Bethel, pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, Ha'i on the east, and there he built an altar unto Yah, and called upon the name of Yah. And I may add, this is the first man in the scriptures where not only the word of Yah came unto him saying, but this is the first man in the scriptures that even though he didn't know the name that Moses brought to the world, the name of Yah, but this is the first man the creator even used to call himself by his name. And that was Abraham. So this man was great. And his identity, he wasn't an Israelite. Because Israel is just a name. And that name came later on. His identity that made him separate from everybody else, he was a Hebrew. And that's what your identity is, the Hebrews. And all through the scriptures, you're going to see how important being a Hebrew is. Here it is. He was separated from his family. And I'm telling you he was separated because that's what he was. He was a Hebrew. That's what you do with Hebrews. But watch this in the book of Genesis 14 because we read some of it. But let me tell you how Yah will bring about total separation. Watch what it says in the book of Genesis 14 and 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And why? You're going to see why. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And a Canaanite and a Perizzite dwelt in the land. And I said Genesis 14. I apologize. This is Genesis 13. Genesis 13. And we started at the fifth verse. And now I'm at the eighth verse. Genesis 13 and 8. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be not strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Watch what Abram say. Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the place well watered everywhere before Yah destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of Yah, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before Yah exceedingly. Well, watch what it says, 14 verse. I said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thy eyes Look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto Yah. So as you can see, beyond a shadow of a doubt, this man that was called a Hebrew, he was called that because he had to separate himself from his family, from his kinfolk, from his house, from his own nativity. But he took his nephew. He took Lot with him. So it wasn't a total separation. And then Yah brought about total separation, because the Almighty did not want anybody else to be considered and called the very thing that he will call Abram and his seed after him, the Hebrews. And why? Because this is our identity. And this identity was born when the Almighty began to divide the earth. And the line that it will come through is none other than Abraham. Furthermore, just so you can see, what I'm telling you is the truth. How Hebrews is a separated people. This is why it's important to know who you are, your identity. Because as you begin to learn this, what you're going to find is that in everything you do, in everything that you're supposed to be doing, is separated from everybody else. You're not to be like anybody else at all, because this is your identity. You have to learn how to separate yourself from other people, even though you are in the midst of other people. So don't say, well, we're in the midst of people, so we got to be like everybody. No, you don't have to be like everybody. And separate yourself also means separating yourself on the earth, including family members. But it's also a spiritual, a social, an economical, and every other way you got to learn how to be separate. Watch this. Not only Abram, the book of Genesis 39, turn there. In the book of Genesis 39, we're going to start reading at 39 or the 13th verse. And watch what it says. Just so you can understand this, let's start at the 7th verse. 39, Genesis 39 and 7. And came to pass after these things, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused, and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master's wanteth not what is with me in his house. And he hath committed all that he had to my hand. There's none greater in this house than I. Neither have he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I this great wickedness and sin is Elohim? And it came to pass as he spake to yourself day by day, as she spoke to yourself day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or be with her. And it came to pass about this time that yourself went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she called him by the garment, saying, lie with me. He left his garment in her hand, fled, and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house, spake to them, saying, see, he had brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his master came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant, which thou hast brought unto us, came in unto me to mock me, even though yourself was an Israelite. But now the people, this is what his identity was. He was a Hebrew. They're going to understand why he was a Hebrew and why he was called a Hebrew and why his behavior and his actions and his identity was a Hebrew. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And of course, y'all know the story, because he was put in jail as a result of this lie. Like many of our people today are locked up because lies from the women of other people. What do you think happened to our young brother down in Mississippi, Emmett Till? All because of a lie. And you see what his fate was. But watch this, Genesis 40, because not only yourself was called a Hebrew, but you're going to see why he was called a Hebrew. Because you see during the time of Eber, the earth, or time of Peleg, Eber's son, the earth was divided. You see during the time of Abram, he was separated and divided from his own family members. But what do you think happened with yourself? Genesis 40. In the book of Genesis 40, this is what it says. Start the 12th verse. And Yosef said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up my head and restore thee unto thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou was his butler. In other words, when Yosef was locked up, he began to interpret the dreams of fellow servants. One was a baker. The other one was a butler. The butler, Yosef told that he will be restored. The baker, Yoel let him know that he was going to be get his head cut off. And this is exactly what happened. But this is what Yosef was saying in the 14th verse. But think on me, and it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out a land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into this dungeon. And what was the land of the Hebrews? If you don't know what the land of the Hebrews was, and you never heard of the land of Hebrews, well, just go to the book of Genesis, the 37th chapter, and let me show you what land Yosef was speaking of in Genesis 37. And watch what it says in Genesis 37, the 12th verse. And his brother went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Yosef, do not thy brother feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said to him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So that he sent him out of the vale of Hebron. And he came to Shechem. And what is the vale of Hebron? But Hebron was in the land of Canaan. And what is the land of Canaan? Well, the land of Canaan became the land of the Hebrews. This is where Abraham, the land that Abraham was given and resided. This is where Isaac was given and resided. And this is exactly where Jacob raised his sons, the 12 tribes. And he sent Yosef from Hebron, the land of the Hebrews, to Shechem to check on his brethren. And of course, when he sent Yosef away to check on his brothers, this is when Yosef was separated from his father. This is when he was separated from his brothers, because his brothers would sell him into the Midianites, was sold him in Egypt. Another man called a Hebrew that was separated once again from his family. Because that's what a Hebrew is. They all were Hebrews, but he was separated. Just to show you something else, watch this in the book of Genesis 41. In the book of Genesis 41, and we're going to start reading at the 9th verse. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me inward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream, he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me restored unto my office. Of course, Pharaoh called Yosef out of dungeon quickly. Get him here now. But they seen them as Hebrews. And why? Because this is their identity. They was a Hebrew is someone that is separated from everybody else. And every time they talk about a Hebrew, it talk about one that is separated. Yosef was separated. Abram was separated. Eber, son, Peleg, the whole earth separated. And not only them, just show you this one more thing. And while our people was in Egypt, in Genesis 43. To show you how separated they were, in the book of Genesis 43, and watch what this says. And I'll start reading at the 26th verse. This is what it says. And when Yosef came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house, bowed themselves to him to the earth. He asked them of the welfare and said, is your father well? The old man of whom ye speak, spake, and he is he yet alive? And they answered, thy servant, our father, is in good health. He is yet alive. And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is your younger brother of whom ye spake unto me? And he said, Elohim, gracious unto thee, my son. And Yosef made haste, for his bowel did yearn upon his brother. And he sought where to weep. And he entered his chamber and wept there. And he washed his face, went out and refrained himself and said, set on bread. And they set on for him by himself and for them by themselves and for the Egyptians, which did eat with him by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. In other words, even though Yosef was the greatest in the land, it still was an abomination with the Hebrews. Just like it is an abomination for the Hebrews to eat other people's food that they don't even know what's in it. And let me show you this. You'll see this in the book of Deuteronomy. Watch what this says in Deuteronomy. 14th chapter, the second verse. It says, for thou art an holy people unto Yah, thy Elohim, and Yah have chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing. And why? Because you're a Hebrew. And Hebrews are separated people. We didn't just become a separated people as Israelites. No, our nativity, our origin, where we come from, being a Hebrew separates us all in of itself. This is where our separation takes place. Let me continue showing how separated we are. In the book of Exodus, the first chapter, we're not just separated as a holy people. We are different people altogether. Why think when Rebecca had these two sons in her womb, and she called one name Jacob, Esau, and called another name Jacob? Esau was not called a Hebrew. Esau was called Edom, the father of the Edomites. But Jacob, changed to Israel, was called a Hebrew. And the land that he would live in was the land of the Hebrews. And watch what there is in the book of Exodus, the first chapter. A verse. Now, there rose a new king over Egypt, which knew not yourself. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them. Lest they multiply, and it came to pass that when there fall about any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore, they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh Pithom and Ramesses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with bondage, in mortar, in brick, in all manner of service in the field. All their servants wherein they made them serve was with rigor. Sound familiar, huh? What you think happened in America? We built everything. Mortar and brick. We worked the fields in the South, picking cotton, as well as all other things, tobacco and everything else. And watch what it says in the 15th verse. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives. Why Hebrew? Because that's who we are. We Hebrews. Of which the name of the one was Shiphrah, the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the office of midwife to the Hebrew women, put them upon the stools if it be a son, then you shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. And here we got women talking about, we just want to be at the table. Well, you weren't at the table when our sons was being killed. You were saved. And we the ones had to die. And why? Because they don't see women as a threat to nobody. The threat are the men. The other nations know that. But we don't. 17th verse. But the midwives feared Elohim and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men and children alive. And the king of Egypt called for their wives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the men and children alive? And watch what happens. And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as Egyptian women, for they are lively and are delivered ere the midwives come in unto them. Therefore, Elohim dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and wiped very mightily. And it came to pass because the midwives feared Elohim that he made them houses. So in other words, what were the midwives telling Pharaoh? That the Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women. We're not like nobody else. Are a separated people altogether. Don't you see how different we are? Well, that's because we're Hebrews. That's our identity. That's what the word Hebrew means. And everywhere you see it, you're going to see this great separation. Watch what it says in the book of Exodus, the third chapter. And we're going to start reading 16 verses. And this is what it says. Go and gather the elders of Israel together and say unto them, Yah Elohim of your fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, of Isaac, and Yaakov appeared to me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done to you in Egypt. Now I've said, I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken to thy voice, and thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Israel, and ye shall say unto them, Yah, Elohim of the Hebrews met with us. Now let us go. We beseech thee, 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to Yah our Elohim. Didn't I tell you? Everyone talks about a Hebrew. It's talking about separating them. Here it is. They supposed to go to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh, let us go. Let us go, let us separate ourselves, and let us go sacrifice unto Yah, the Elohim of the Hebrews. Because that's what a Hebrew represents. This is what a Hebrew is supposed to represent. This is his identity, to be separated from everybody else. This is our origin, our history. Our ancestry. This is nativity. Watch this. I love this scripture right here. Book of Jonah. Turn there. Book of Jonah. What is our identity? See, once you begin to learn who you are, learn what you are, then you can begin being who you are. How are you going to be something that you don't even know what you are? You think Hebrew is some language. And the only reason you think that is because that's what you've been told by your enemies. Telling our people you speak in Paleo Hebrew and modern Hebrew and ancient Hebrew and this type of Hebrew and that, and you don't even know what a Hebrew is. Jonah, the first chapter. And watch what it says. And we're going to start reading. At the first verse, watch what it says. Or we're going to start at the fourth verse. Jonah, the first chapter, the fourth verse. But God sent out a great wind. Oh, no, we're going to start at the first verse because I want you to see this thing Jonah was all about. Now the word of Yah came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish, from the presence of Yah, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of Yah. But Yah sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that ship was like to be broken. This is how bad Yah made the sea. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his deity, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and he was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy Elohim, if so be that Elohim will think upon us that we perish not. Because they were calling on their deities, but they weren't getting no answer at all. And they said, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then say they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? Now watch what Jonah tell him. And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew. Why did he say that? Because that's who we are. We're Hebrews. Fear Yah, the Elohim of heaven, which have made the sea and dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said to him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of Yah, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought, and was tempestuous. He said unto them, take me up, cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea become unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea rocked and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto Yah and said, we beseech thee, O Yah, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Yah, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared Yah exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto Yah, and made vows. Now Yah had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Here it is, another Hebrew that was separated from the other people. Separated, as Yah wanted him, because he had not done what Yah said. Because this is what a Hebrew is. Just a couple more scriptures in the book of Deuteronomy 15. What is our identity? Well, we're Hebrews. That's why the scripture says this in Deuteronomy, the 15th chapter, the 12th verse. And if thou bring, this is a law, and if thou bring an Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then in 7th year thou shalt let him free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock, and out of thy floor, and out of thy winepress, of that wherewith Yahweh Elohim blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. And why? Because this is with Hebrews. Watch this in the book of Exodus 21. Now, not so with the foreigner. The foreigners, we able to keep them forever. They don't go out in those 7 years and work for 6 years. We can keep them forever. But the Hebrews, is not so. Exodus 21. And watch what it says. The first verse. Now, these are the judgments which thou shalt set before them. On Hebrew servant, 6 years he shall serve. And the 7th, he shall go out free for nothing. Why? Because he's a Hebrew. He's a Hebrew. And this is how we deal with the Hebrews. Why? Because the Most High is the Elohim of the Hebrews. And last scripture in the book of Jeremiah 34. This is what it says. The 8th verse, Jeremiah 34:8. This is the word that came unto Jeremiah from Yah. After the king Zedekiah had made a covenant with all the people which were at Jerusalem to proclaim liberty unto them, that every man should let his manservant and every man his maidservant, being a Hebrew or a Hebrewess, go free, that none should serve himself of them, to wit, of a Yehudah, his brother. Now, when all the princes and all the people which had entered into the covenant heard that everyone should let his manservant and everyone his maidservant go free, that none should serve themselves of them anymore, then they obeyed and let them go. But afterwards they turned and called the servants and the handmaids whom they had let go free to return and brought them into subjection for servants and for handmaids. Therefore, the word of Yah came to Jeremiah from Yah saying, thus is Yah, the Elohim of Israel, I made a covenant with your fathers in a day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondmen, saying, at the end of 7 years, let ye go every man his brother in Hebrew, which have been sold unto thee. And when he have served thee 6 years, thou shalt let him go free from thee. But your fathers hearkened not unto me, neither inclined their ear. And ye were now turned, and had done right in my sight, proclaiming liberty every man to his neighbor. Ye had made a covenant before me in the house which is called by my name, but ye turned and polluted my name, and caused every man his servant, every man his handmaid, whom ye had set at liberty at their pleasure to return, and brought them into subjection to be unto you for servants and for handmaids. Therefore, thus is Yah, ye have not hearkened unto me and proclaimed liberty, every one to his brother, every man to his neighbor. Behold, I proclaim a liberty for you, says Yah, to the sword, to the pestilence, to the famine, and I will make you to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth. And I will give the men that transgress my covenant, which have not performed the words of the covenant which they had made before me, when they cut the calf in twain and pass between the parts thereof, the princes of Yehuda, the princes of Jerusalem, the eunuchs, the priests, and all the people of the land which pass between the parts of the calf, I will even give them into the hand of the enemies, and to the hand of them that seek their life, and their dead bodies shall be for meat unto the fowls of the heaven and to the beasts of the earth. And Zedekiah, king of Yehuda, and his princes, will give into the hand of their enemies, and into the hand of them that seek their life, and into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which are gone up from before you. So I will command Ishah and cause them to return to this city. And they shall fight against it, take it, burn it with fire, and I will make the cities of Yehuda a desolation without inhabitant. So as you can see, once again, as a Hebrew, that we are a separated people. We're not like other people. We're not to be like other people. Y'all separated us from other people all together. We're Hebrews. And make no mistake about it, when the Almighty, and it's going to happen once again, because there's nothing new under the sun. What is now? Have already been. And what shall be? That's what is now. And Yah require that which is past. And the Almighty is going to separate his people once again from all the nations on the earth. And these people that he will separate in one thing only. They are identified one way and one way only. They are Hebrews. And these Hebrews, once again, will be separated and saved. What is our identity? We're Hebrews. Till tomorrow. Yeah, I love you, and so do I. Shalom.
Worthy.